for the two portions that are different. I believe that for one of them, we both houses are in agreement. For another one, we need to talk a little bit about it. For the portion on adoption records, on dealing with the adoption assistance, I had a meeting with the governor's office last night with a representative, and they have I requested that they send us something in writing because I have not been able to really see anything. I've worked on these issues for many, many years, as many people know, so for me to say I disagree with that after a member has worked on it for so many years was just simply not enough. So I have requested that they send us some information in writing so that we could see what is the opinion of the governor's office. But I do not believe that we have received anything yet. So let's go around and introduce ourselves.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Representative Larry Hosh. I'm the House author of this legislation. And actually, just so you know, I've spoken to Matt Hughes from the governor's office and requested that this committee would be appreciative if they were to either come here or put something in writing with expressing their concerns. And hopefully we can do that. I think the differing sides have differences based on good reasons, but I do think there's a way to compromise too, and whether that happens today or next year, I'm not sure yet. It's good to be here.
Thank you.
Please go ahead. I'm Representative Aaron Murphy from St. Paul, and I am also working on the adoption provisions in this bill, and it's probably one of the primary reasons I'm on the conference. I've also talked with Matt Hughes this morning, and Senator Rust and I are working together to try and find a path forward on that legislation, because I think it's a really important provision in this legislation, and I think it is important for adoptees to have access to their medical history and medical records for their health. So I hope that we can find in the next 24 hours a path forward. I'm going to work hard on that. Thank you.
With House Research. I'm Kathy Pontius, Senate Counsel.
I'm Warren Limmer, State Senator. And some of the language I have is some of the questions that are being raised today. Anxious to get into it, trying to find the balance between privacy and the benefit of having certain information is always the issue, the balance point. Where we put that fulcrum is where is the challenge of our discussion on all this. So anxious to see what we can do to solve this.
And my name is Mee Moore. I represent Senator 67. I chair the Senate Judiciary Policy Committee, and I have to say that I'm quite honored to be put on this conference committee. The Judiciary Policy Committee has looked at a number of provisions that are in this bill, but in particular the several iterations of the adoption bills that have come through the Senate for the last several years have gone through the Judiciary Committee. Senator Warren Limmer is the Republican lead on the Judiciary Policy Committee. When we engaged in the conversations about the language that is in the House bill that's before us, we gave a lot of time to those adoption bills. In fact, we heard one of them twice, and I think the one that we heard twice is actually the language that's in the House language. So it's not been for lack of opportunity nor for lack of time in the Senate. We have given it much consideration. Senator Rest is here. It's her provision. But I have to say that, you know, part of the reason why I'm so passionate about the adoption provisions, and I do want to engage in that conversation, is that Representative Tingelstad and Senator Rest have been working on this for a long, long time. And I'm just a big fan of the two of them. And I want to make sure that I am, frankly, very, very, very sad that we couldn't get this done for Representative Tingelstad when she was still in the legislature last year. And my hope is that we can get it done so that she can feel like, you know, she left with a legacy.
I mean, I'm just grateful that Senator Rest is still here and still pushing the ball on this issue. So, Mr. Chair, Madam Chair, thank you for the opportunity to have a discussion on this issue.
Just a second. We're going around, and I was going to introduce you, Senator Rest.
Oh, I'm Shannon Anderson. I'm the legislative assistant for Senator Kamarzai.
Thank you. Senator Rest, you missed some very important introductions here because everybody is just really interested in dealing with some of the adoption pieces in here. So we have made a commitment to you, and we're going to work with you. And we're going to go through the bill for all of, you know, this bill pretty much is the same. We have just a couple of provisions that are not. One of them is the adoption provision. So it is very important to us that we work with you and that we try our best. Both Representative Hodge and I have talked to Matthew last night and have expressed our desire to have something in writing from the governor's office to really understand what their position is. We have not received anything yet. So you have an update. So if it's okay with welcome to the committee. Thank you. We went through introductions, so if you could please introduce yourself, that would
sure.
be great.
I'm Representative Tara Mack from Napa Valley and Burnsville.
Thank you. Senator Rest, would you like to please come and address our committee?
Madam Chair and members, thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to address you on the issue that pertains to adoption. That was one of my bills and that came through the Judiciary Committee and then ended up being part of Senator Torres Ray's bill. The proposal that's in the Senator Torres Ray's bill is very straightforward, but then I tell you conversations I've had further to modify it that I think meet some of the concerns of people who were very hesitant about it. The proposal that's in the bill says that when an adult adoptee goes to an adoption agency to conduct a search for to determine if the birth mother would allow her name to be disclosed, that the once the contact is made within that 6 months period, and that's the time that the adoption agency has to conduct the search before it ceases, that when the contact is made, the birth mother is informed that if she wants contact, she has the opportunity to file an affidavit of disclosure. If she doesn't want contact, she must file an affidavit of non-disclosure 90 days after the contact is made. That's the basic proposal on that side. And in addition, if the adult adoptee wishes to have medical information, the birth mother must supply it. Also within a 90-day period. The experience of adoption agencies with regard to providing in those searches is that 95% of the birth mothers not only agree to give the updated medical history, but they give it over the phone when the contact is made. The proposal that I have spoken with, modifying that with Andrea, I don't know her last name, the representative from MCCL, and with Mr. Hughes this morning is to focus on what I think is the most important part of that proposal, and that is access to the medical information. And the proposal, a modified proposal that they are thinking about right now is to when the search is conducted, that number one, the birth mother just be informed by the adoption agency, the search agency, of the opportunity to file an affidavit of disclosure or non-disclosure, and there are no consequences if she chooses to ignore doing that. And so the status quo is retained, and that's particularly the case for that group of adult adoptees that were adopted before 1977. So instead of there being a requirement for the birth mother to file an affidavit of non-disclosure if she doesn't want contact within 90 days after the contact is, after the contact from the birth from the adoption agency is made, she's just simply given the opportunity and made aware that such an affidavit exists if she wants to get it permanently on the record of one way or the other, rather than being required to do so. And the only requirement in the conduct of the search would be that updated medical information would have to be provided, and the adult adoptee would not have to go to court to get that non-identifying anonymous medical information. And I think particularly those who are pro-life and anti-abortion should be concerned about the medical information. It is not beyond reach that a woman now in her 30s who wants to become pregnant but is unaware because she cannot obtain updated medical history from her birth mother about that she would like to have, takes a chance and becomes pregnant, and the pregnancy is a troubled one, and she is faced with a dilemma of whether to continue it or not, and she is forced with a choice of whether she will have an abortion. Whereas if she had had the information from the updated medical information from the birth mother, she could have averted becoming pregnant and not having such a tragic decision in front of her, and perhaps herself could have chosen, she and her husband could have chosen to pursue a family through adoption. And I think that is, in this proposal, that is the critical element of moving forward at this time. And it doesn't ask for the birth mother to, or require her to assert a right of privacy with regard to her name. It just gives her the opportunity to do so and to be made aware of it. But with regard to the medical information, that in that instance, the balance would be in favor of the adult adoptee requesting it in order to make good and thoughtful decisions about her or his own health future. So that is the proposal that I have, or the change, much more of a compromise that I have suggested to Andrea and to Mr. Hughes.
Thank you.
And we'll wait to hear from them.
Thank you, Senator Rest. I don't know if all of you have to. I'm conferencing another bill. I'm conferencing the legacy bill right now. So what I would like to do is just ask the staff to go through this bill so that we can really adopt the provisions that are the same. And I'm going to give you then a little bit more time to work on what you have to do, Senator Rest. And if it is okay with the committee, what I would like to do is assign, obviously this is your provision, Senator Rest, to continue to work so that you can bring us some language that we could discuss today. My assumption is that you have a little bit of time, and we have to go through this, and I will be That will give you a little time to figure out, and then if you want to bring, you know,
Madam
an amendment
Chair, anytime the,
that this
if the
committee
members have,
discuss, that would be great.
Have any questions about this new way or this new proposal? I certainly stand to respond to them at this point.
Thank you. So we will call you when we're ready. Ms. Pontius, I would like to see if you can help us go through the side-by-side. And, yes.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I think the easiest thing is just to focus on the differences because so much of it's identical.
I would like to adopt what is identical.
So, yes.
So,
I can tell you what isn't identical, and you can adopt everything.
The rest? Okay. That sounds great. Either way, I think that sounds good.
Yeah, there's like 80
that
sections.
Sounds good.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
So, I
that's
mean,
even better.
Every word is identical on both sides.
Okay.
There's one set of Senate only, which is the adoption records provision, and there's a set of House only, which is the adoption assistance. So
excellent.
Starts
let's proceed that way.
R44.
I told John Paul you were here.
Going up to R51, and this is the House adoption assistance provisions that are only in the House bill. And then also at the very end of the House bill, the repealer of the rules, which is on R86, is tied to those sections as well.
Representative Murphy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm wondering if Ms. Pontius could just repeat that one more time.
Thank
please.
You. Please.
Madam Chair, members, it starts on R44, starting with House Section 5, going through R51, through the House Section 12, and then all the way to the last page, R86, the House Section 39, the repeal of the rules, just tied to that.
And then the
Senator Moore.
The Senate has language that's different, right? And that's the adoption provisions that we talked about, starting on R51.
That's the other issue. So there's basically just two issues. That's the House adoption assistance is what I just mentioned.
Okay.
And then when you get to the R51, you switch over to Senate only on the other side.
Make a motion to adopt.
Go ahead.
Okay. Madam Chair, I'd like to, so we can move this forward, just make a motion to adopt the Senate language in this bill with the exception of Section 5 through 9 starting at R51.
Any questions on that motion? Senator Limmer.
Sure, would that be including the House language then?
No.
We're just doing on the Senate.
We're following the Senate. So the motion is to adopt the Senate side, which gives us Section 5 to Section 9 for discussion later.
Madam Chair, and that also leaves open the House language starting at R44, open for adoption later, and the repealer.
Any questions on that motion? All of those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed say no. The motion is adopted. Thank you, Representative Hosh. Ms. Pontius, could you please continue?
Madam Chair, the members, the other difference then, starting at the bottom of R51, going through the top of R54 through Section 8, is the adoption record which that Senator Rex was just discussing. That's the Senate only.
Okay.
Madam Chair, one of the things I was wondering if we could have done is maybe if Ms. Martineau from the department can address the conference committee on the adoption assistance language that the House adopted. I think it's fairly non-controversial and from technical in nature. We may be able to adopt that also.
I think think that is a, I think
okay,
that's a great suggestion. So, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. I'm Erin Sullivan Sutton with the Department of Human Services. The House only language pertains to Title 4E federal requirements pertaining to the administration of the Adoption Assistance Program and our non-controversial provisions.
Ms. Sullivan, could you speak to those just briefly so that members could have an understanding of what language are they reviewing right now and what are some of the changes?
Sure. Starting on page R44, the adoption assistance language pertains to eligibility for federal adoption assistance under Title 4E and conforms with recent changes that were included in the Fostering Connections to Success Act that was passed by Congress this past fall. Section 6 pertains to the adoption assistance agreement and refers to the benefit level that is provided for in Section 7. Section 7 actually is a result of audit findings. The state auditor audits the adoption assistance program on an annual basis, and the current administrative rule has erroneous benefit levels in the rules, so it has been recommended by the auditor that be changed and the statute be amended to reflect current benefit levels. So nothing changes there; merely reflects what is currently occurring in the program. And Section 8 pertains to the modification, termination, or extension of an adoption assistance agreement, which is consistent with the federal requirements. As well as allowing for an extension of the agreement past 18, consistent with recent federal changes in the fostering connection for those children who need continued assistance because of special needs. And then Section 9 is simply language pertaining to special needs determination and eligibility for children on adoption assistance as a result of having special needs. I think that's Section 10 pertains to determination of residency for a child, and that is consistent, again, with federal language clarifying Title 4E. And Section 11 pertains to reimbursement of cost associated with the adoption assistance agreement, particularly child-specific adoption services that are part of that program. And then finally, Section 12 requires us to promote adoption assistance for children who are wards of the commissioner. That is an emphasis that was included in the Fostering Connections Bill, again, trying to ensure that all children who are eligible for adoption do, in fact, have an opportunity for adoption, and this is one way of doing that.
Thank you, Ms. Sullivan Sutton. Any questions? Senator Limmer.
Thank you. The only question I may have is, under this federal program, is it a bill that's, rather than a bill, a program that has a longstanding expectation, or is it something that's just going to be here for a few years?
Madam Chair, Senator Limmer, the expectation is that once, if a special needs child is put on adoption assistance, that adoption assistance is available until that child reaches the age of majority, or in limited circumstances, there's an extension.
So this is a long-term commitment from the federal
government? Madam Chair, Senator Limmer, yes, it is, under current law.
Thank you. Senator Moore. Oh, I thought you had a question. Any questions? Any concerns? Are we ready to move this?
Madam Chair, I would move that from the Conference Committee adopt the House language starting on R44, Section 5, through Section 12, ending on R51.
Thank you. Any questions on that motion? If not, all of those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. The motion is adopted. Thank you.
One more.
Representative Hosh.
Madam Chair, I would move that the Conference Committee adopt Section 39 on R-86. And that is the repealer that follows the language we just adopted.
Thank you, Representative Hosh. We didn't, Senator Lim.
What are the provisions of the
repeal? There are parts of rule that have been identified by the federal Title IV-E contracts that are in conflict with the federal policies, and those that have been incorporated into statute are repealed. So the conflicts between the statute and federal policies.
Thank you. Any other questions on the repealer? If not, all of those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say no. The motion is adopted. Well, I believe that leaves us basically with the issue that we have been dealing with for quite some time. So we're going to recess for a few, for some time. I need to figure out what is happening with Senator Rest and her conversations with the governor's office. And then I believe that we should be back. What is the House members? What is your schedule right now? I believe you have caucus right now, right? So you're going to be caucusing? Are you caucusing at noon? I understand.
Madam Chair,
we'll start session.
We were to convene at 12, recess for caucus, and
okay.
I'm sure throughout the day there will be several recesses, so
okay.
We can just play things by ear.
Okay. So we'll, Senator Moore.
Madam Chair, Mr. Chair, may I suggest that on this issue, because it is an issue of trying to negotiate language that would be palatable to the executive branch, that perhaps in the interest of time, because we're all running around in different conference committees, that you two will be in conversation with Representative Murphy and Senator Rest, and that you will communicate, since this is only, you know, a three conference committee from each side, maybe you might want to just communicate to us what the consensus is or where the compromise is, and that I'm comfortable, and I'm not going to speak to the rest of the other conferees, but I am comfortable once that consensus has been met that you give direction to council to incorporate that into the language that has been adopted. If there's no agreement, however, I would like an opportunity to come back here and have an opportunity to speak on the record as to why there's no agreement. But if there is agreement and consensus among those who are involved, I am okay with having the two chairs instruct council to put a document together. And when we sign the documents, we will then be, ratifying the information that's in the conference committee report. If that's okay with you, I would like to suggest that to expedite the conversation. So we only need to meet again if there's no consensus.
I have been informed that I have to, Senator Moore, thank you. I have been informed that I have to publicly accept, you know, the agreement, which will require that we will be here, that we should be here. But, you know, we don't have to have, you know, an extensive, we're going to be here, so we could do that. But let me hear from the rest of the members and see what is their level of comfort with what Senator Moore just proposed.
Well, I mean, I think it's a good idea. However, I think we do have to have, you know, an official action to be able to adopt whatever the agreed upon language is. And I trust the advocates on all the sides to be able to put something together. And I think it'd be more of a formality of just adopting an agreement if that does so happen. And if there isn't an agreement, I completely agree with Senator Mao that we should have it on the record of why there isn't an agreement and what the intentions are for the future to address this issue.
Thank you. Senator Murphy, okay. Senator Mack, Representative Senator Limmer. Okay. So we're going to adjourn and reconvene and we're going to recess, and then we are going to convene again as soon as we get the information from the governor's office. We are in recess. Thank you, members.
Thank you.
I need to go to parks and trails.
Yes. I mean, if